It's easy to feel like we're constantly facing these huge societal challenges, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely.
Whether it's poverty, division, this pervasive anxiety, or questions about leadership, you can feel, well, pretty overwhelming.
It really can. And instead of just, you know, throwing our hands up, we wanted to really dig into a specific perspective on all this.
Exactly. So we've been exploring an episode from the Faith Beans EP podcast. It's called Wisdom is the Principal Thing. Unlocking Divine Insight for Real World Change, and it draws a lot from Dr. Bill Winston's teachings.
Mm-hmm.
Think of this as our deep dive into that material, trying to pull out the key insights. Our mission today really is to understand how this podcast suggests we can gain what it calls divine truth, spiritual intelligence, and kingdom-level solutions.
Solutions for real-world impact.
Right. And it all seems to pivot around this core idea from Proverbs 4.7. Wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom. And with all thy getting, get understanding. So where do they even begin with tackling these huge issues?
Well, the podcast kicks off by acknowledging exactly what you just said, that feeling of being swamped by problems like poverty, division, anxiety, leadership crises, all of it.
Okay.
But what's interesting is their immediate take on these issues, they frame them as level one problems.
Level one problems.
The things that are right there on the surface, visible. The things we tend to react to immediately, you know, a sudden economic issue, a public conflict flaring up.
The stuff that grabs headlines. Got it.
And they immediately raise a really thoughtful question. How do we usually deal with these level one problems? Why do we so often reach for what they see as temporary fixes?
Yeah, like Band-Aids maybe. Solutions that give some short-term relief, but don't really fix the underlying issue.
Precisely. It makes you pause and think, why are we applying superficial solutions to problems that feel so deep?
It's like trying to patch a dam with chewing gum or something.
Yeah.
It doesn't really work long-term.
Exactly. And this is where they introduce their central argument. They suggest these problems aren't just political or economic or racial at their core.
Okay, so what's deeper then, according to them?
They believe there's something else missing, what they call wisdom gaps.
Wisdom gaps. Interesting term.
Yeah, and they back this up with scripture. They mention Ecclesiastes 7.1, wisdom preserves those who have it, and James 1.5, the call to ask God if you lack wisdom.
So the idea is that these visible problems are actually symptoms. Symptoms of a deeper lack of insight, the kind they believe comes from a divine source.
That's the perspective, yes. A lack of understanding and divine strategy.
And they're pretty direct about the consequences of these wisdom gaps, aren't they?
They are. They assert that without this foundational wisdom, leaders inevitably fail. And, well, people get misguided. It's a strong claim about the root cause.
It definitely sets a different foundation for thinking about solutions.
It does. And it leads right into their distinction between different kinds of problems and, crucially, different kinds of solutions. Mm. They talk about level one problems, poverty, unemployment, violence, moral decline, the visible stuff we react to.
Right. The symptoms we just discussed.
And for those, you typically see level one solutions.
Mm.
Things like stimulus checks for poverty, maybe temporary housing for homelessness, social media campaigns.
The immediate responses. Often well-intentioned.
Yeah.
But maybe not addressing the root.
That's their point. They contrast this with what they call level two problems. These are less obvious, more fundamental. Things like a lack of vision, ignorance, what they describe as spiritual decay, or an absence of godly governance.
Okay, so deeper underlying issues. And presumably, these need different solutions.
Exactly. Level two solutions. They suggest things like reforming education at a fundamental level, focusing on spiritual discipleship and mentorship, creating policies rooted in righteousness, more systemic, long-term approaches.
That sounds like a much bigger undertaking.
It is. They bring in Isaiah 33.6 here. Wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of thy times. The idea is that deeper understanding creates true stability.
Right.
And a key phrase they use is, you cannot solve a supernatural issue with natural thinking.
Okay, let's unpack that a bit. Supernatural issue. So they're saying these problems have a dimension beyond just the material or social.
That seems to be the implication. Therefore, the solutions can't just rely on human intellect or, you know, the usual methods.
So what's needed then?
They stress the need for what they call a divine download or insight from heaven. Something beyond our own capacity is needed for real, lasting change.
That definitely shifts the focus from purely human-led problem solving.
It does. And they use a really vivid analogy. They say the world doesn't necessarily need more programs per se.
Okay.
What it needs, they argue, are individuals like Joseph, Daniel, Esther from the Bible people, filled with God's wisdom, who used it to tackle massive societal challenges.
Ah, so it's about individuals being equipped with this specific kind of wisdom, not just systems changing.
That's a huge part of it, which brings us back to that core verse. Wisdom is the principal thing. They spend some time unpacking principle.
Right. What does principle mean in this context, according to them?
They define it as first in rank, most important. So not just a good thing, but the top priority.
The number one thing.
Yes. And they define the wisdom itself not just as good advice or being clever, but as divine strategy, like having God's specific game plan for a situation.
So it's active, it's strategic, and principle also implies essential.
Right.
Not just nice to have.
Exactly. Not optional. Fundamental. They point to Proverbs 3, talking about wisdom being more valuable than silver or gold.
Hmm.
And Colossians 2:3, that all treasures of wisdom and knowledge are hidden in Christ.
There's a line in the podcast that really stuck with me on this. Without wisdom, passion becomes noise. With wisdom, passion becomes progress.
That's powerful, isn't it? You can have all the energy and good intentions, but without that wise strategy,
it might just spin its wheels.
Right. And wow. Building on that, they talk about wisdom not just as an idea, but as a builder. It's constructive.
A builder? How so?
It's about actively constructing solutions, not just reacting to problems. They give examples.
Like who?
Like Solomon building the temple that required immense wisdom and planning. Or Nehemiah strategically rebuilding Jerusalem's walls with divine guidance.
And Joseph, you mentioned him earlier. His wisdom saved nations from famine through planning.
Precisely. It's proactive. They cite Proverbs 24:3-4. By wisdom, a house is built. It underscores that active, constructive quality.
So the call here is really to shift focus. Move from just reacting when things go wrong
to proactively preparing solutions. Wisdom equips you to anticipate, to prepare for challenges even ones you don't see coming yet.
Which seems incredibly relevant for leadership today.
Absolutely. They argue that modern leadership urgently needs this kind of wisdom. It's socially and globally relevant.
And how should leaders access this, according to the podcast?
Their point is that leaders need guidance from what they call revelation. They see this as superior to just information or education alone.
Revelation, meaning like a direct insight from God.
That seems to be the idea. A deeper, divinely inspired understanding. They value information and education, of course, but argue that true transformative leadership needs this extra dimension.
Okay.
And they express a belief that God is raising up kingdom-equipped leaders across different sectors, business, education, politics.
People guided by this wisdom.
Yes. They reference Daniel 2:21. He gives wisdom to the wise, reinforcing that it's seen as a divine endowment. They even suggest looking for modern examples, kingdom entrepreneurs or faith-driven leaders tackling issues in schools, healthcare, justice.
So applying this wisdom to really practical, big global issues.
Exactly. They tackle that directly. Global challenges like pandemics, climate issues, broken justice systems. Their stance is that lasting solutions require this wisdom.
And it goes back to that proactive idea.
Yes. God's wisdom, in their view, anticipates problems. It provides plans that look beyond the immediate crisis, addressing root causes, thinking long term.
Like Joseph preparing Egypt for the famine years in advance.
Yeah.
That's the model they point to. And another really striking quote here, where people see crisis, the wise see opportunity for kingdom solutions.
Wow, that's a total reframing. Seeing challenges not just as problems, but as opportunities.
A complete shift. And they do offer practical steps for how someone can actually get this wisdom.
Okay, like what?
First, ask God directly. They keep coming back to James 1:5. Second, study the word, immerse yourself in scripture.
Makes sense within their framework. What else?
Surround yourself with wise people. Proverbs talks a lot about that. And critically, obey promptly when you feel you receive guidance. Don't delay.
Action is key.
Very much so. And they ground it all in Proverbs 9:7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Reverence is foundational.
And they define this wisdom quite specifically, don't they? It's not just being smart.
Right. It's not just intellect. It's insight for righteous impact. The goal isn't just knowledge. It's applying that insight to make a positive ethical difference.
Insight for righteous impact. I like that.
And to help internalize this, they share several affirmations. Things like, I walk in divine wisdom. I have solutions that change my generation.
God is giving me supernatural understanding. I am a principal leader because I prioritize wisdom. It's about actively adopting that identity.
Exactly. So as they wrap up, they circle back to the main point. Wisdom isn't just helpful, it's essential. It's the principal thing for everything: home, business, finances, ministry, all of it.
And the final encouragement is pretty clear.
Very clear. Seek wisdom first, and all other things will follow. It's presented as a core principle for life.
A promise, almost, that prioritizing this insight changes everything else.
Mm-hmm. Then they have the standard calls to action: subscribe, share the episode if it resonated, comment, follow them online.
So as we finish this deep dive, maybe the thought to leave with you, the listener, is this. What if, when facing the challenges in your own life or community, you intentionally paused to seek this kind of fundamental divine wisdom first?
How might that shift your approach? How might it change how you even see the problem, let alone the solution?
It definitely offers a different lens, a different starting point for tackling the things that feel overwhelming. Something to consider.